now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Bounce pass to Giannis, left of the lane. Passes to Rollins. Rollins puts it on the floor. Dribble drive, attack, scoops the shot off the window and in.
Butts Talk starts now.
And he will, ball batted out, and that is the ball game. 116-114, the Bucks survive tonight.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, you were hoping it would have been a little easier against a Mavericks team that's struggling, to put it mildly, but these types of wins are important for a team that may not be largely new, but you got guys in new spots and trying to figure out how to win these games together. You had ample opportunity to do it yesterday against the Houston Rockets, but we heard a very critical Doc Rivers after the game talking about their late game execution. And even prior to that, mentioning specifically towards the end of the first half, you know, even when we had a double-digit lead, I didn't like the way our offense was moving. We got too stagnant, the ball stuck, and that's a game we should have been leading by more and should have put away much sooner against the Houston Rockets. It was even worse for large stretches tonight. And look, I know, what, last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever that was already, we talked after the Toronto Raptors game and said a big piece of this is you didn't arrive in Toronto until 3 a.m. and get to the hotel and then get ready for a game that was played at 7 o'clock local time, but 6 o'clock out here. It was a rough turnaround. Now, that's not the excuse. That wasn't all of what we saw. There was still poor execution, but it just felt like, okay, it's a flat team. Doc even said after the game it was his briefest post-game to date. We just didn't have it tonight. Like, yeah, we can kind of bemoan some of the things we didn't do, but it basically starts with this. It was a schedule loss. I didn't feel that way coming into the game today, where you knew what you were going to be up against in Toronto. You played at 2:30 yesterday. You know, you were able to leave Milwaukee at a reasonable time and get into Dallas, stay in the same time zone last night, early in the evening. This wasn't really a schedule loss, but the way that the Bucks were playing in the early going, you know, this one in many ways felt worse than the Raptors game because of that and because of how the team just looked flat. And it very much looked like a team that was on night two of a back-to-back. This is a wounded Mavericks team, literally and figuratively. You know, with the injury report and the list of names that were out of this game, there's one name that was not, and that was Cooper Flagg, who I think everybody listening to this program knows the name. You could see why he was rightfully hyped as much as he was and taken number one overall. He had some fantastic plays in this one tonight. But it's the old adage of a wounded animal. You corner them and you give them life. Those are the ones that are going to come back to bite you. And it certainly felt for three plus quarters, that's what we were seeing from the Dallas Mavericks. It wasn't until that midpoint in the quarter when the Bucks started to finally knock down some threes. And those shots were huge. Bobby Portis with two big threes. Kyle Kuzma made some of those threes and made some tremendous plays all night. You heard Doc Rivers speak very highly of Kuz after the game. We heard the same thing before the Rockets game. It's not lip service. Kyle Kuzma is a guy who did not have very many supporters coming into this season, even in his own fan base, especially in his own fan base. There weren't a lot of Kuz believers. And look, we still got to see this for 71 games. But what we're seeing from Kyle Kuzma, this is, you go back to that trade last year, and one of the reasons why they did it, as much as it hurt to give up a Chris Middleton in the deal, sure, the second apron was part of it, though. You know, we heard Doc Rivers and the ownership group say that was not. You know, it wasn't a directive to get under the second apron. It wasn't a directive to save money. We wanted to make this trade because of what Kyle Kuzma can do for our team. And I think when everybody heard that, they rolled their eyes and said, yeah, right. And now this season, we are seeing the proof of concept in what Kyle Kuzma can and has done for this team. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I mean, maybe the Kyle Kuzma game. I don't want to shortchange Giannis, who, oh, by the way, had another 30-point game. But Kyle Kuzma with 26 points and some big shots down the stretch. He hit what was ultimately the game winner on that transition dunk and continues to be your defensive Swiss Army knife. So we'll take a look at some of these team numbers that the Bucks have accumulated through these first 11 games and a suddenly very crowded top of the Eastern Conference. Coming up after this on Bucks Talk. 116 to 114, the final in Dallas. It wasn't pretty. It was by no means a masterpiece here, but it's a win for this team. And, you know, you go back to yesterday afternoon and that loss to the Rockets. We've heard Giannis bang this drum before this season in that good teams don't lose back-to-back games. We've seen good Bucks teams lose back-to-back games, but it's something to strive for this group, to pull them together and to just keep the train on the tracks headed in the right direction. I mean, you know, the team that won the title in 2021 lost back-to-back games a couple of times, several times. They had, I believe, a five-game losing streak in that season. The only Bucks team that comes to memory that did not or were trended towards that, you didn't have many in 2018-19. When, you know, our expectations coming into the season were four seed, right? We can get home court advantage in the first round and finally get out of the first round of the playoffs. And you end up winning 60 games. They had a couple during that season. But the following year, when the Bucks were on pace to win, I believe they were on a 73-win pace at one point. They did not lose back-to-back games until the final official weekend of the season before the bubble, when I believe they had a three-game losing streak. But we'll see how long this can keep up and if this is something that continues to drive this group. And we hear that message from Giannis of, we're not losing back-to-back games. You lose, you get back in the win column. Kyle Kuzma and Ryan Rollins are two big reasons for that. And I mentioned it before we went to break. Kyle Kuzma with the 26 points tonight. Again, his Swiss Army knife of defense that he has been. Tonight it was Cooper Flagg that he had the assignment of. You just go through the Bucks' recent games and look at individually who Kyle Kuzma has had to take on. Cooper Flagg tonight. Kevin Durant for large portions of the game yesterday. Karl Anthony Towns, maybe his defensive masterpiece earlier in the season. You see him switched off onto perimeter players, onto bigs. He has brought it on both ends of the floor. And the same can be said for Ryan Rollins. And, you know, you go back to the, first week of the season when Rollins was kind of, you know, not the forgotten guy, but that was the only game this season that Rollins did not score in double figures when he was coming off the bench behind Kevin Porter Jr. And efficiency-wise, maybe his worst game of the season, if we throw out the Raptors game that we mentioned before, which nobody was good in. Since then, Rollins has been a double-digit scorer in each of the 10 games played, and he has had to do that, carrying the offense or basically being your second point guard behind Giannis, all while maintaining that same level of defense that we've seen from Kyle Kuzma with the types of assignments that he's seen. Look, it is an interesting question of what happens when Kevin Porter Jr. does in fact come back. It's something that you can tackle further down the road. It's something you need, though. Cole Anthony did not have a good game tonight. Cole Anthony has had at least two or three that you can look at and say, I don't know if it's him specifically that won you this game, but he was a pretty big reason for it. And that's going to be the case throughout the season. But you need more than just those two and Giannis. You need as many ball handlers, initiators, and guys that can score and create their own shot in the half court. They're missing that right now with Kevin Porter Jr. There are certainly bigger pieces you could be without and certainly don't want to be without offensively, but that's a big loss for this group. So we do need to keep that in mind. But what Rollins and Kuzma have done on the defensive end, with all of that, knowing what they've taken on offensively, is certainly worth pointing out. And what's made this team so tough so far this season? Yeah, Giannis has been great. He's played in 10 games and he scored 30 in 8 of those 10. One of those was that disaster game against the Raptors, where he finished with, I think, 20, 22 in limited minutes. Giannis has been an MVP caliber player, but the depth that you're finding, and I think what's most important and what's most different about this year's group than any other Bucks team that we've seen in recent memory, is it's always been Giannis and Damian Lillard, or Giannis and Chris Middleton, or Giannis and Drew Holiday that season, right? It's always been Giannis, and then here's the clear-cut second guy. Maybe we are, in fact, moving towards, hey, what Ryan Rollins is that second guy. But the unpredictability outside of that has proven to be a good team. Good thing for this team. You know what to expect from those guys, but you're always getting at least two or three others that are in double figures. And again, tonight, six guys scoring in double figures once again. Bobby Portis, who's had a bit of a slow start to the season, one of those guys, one of Bobby Portis's better games this season. But what that's done in terms of the versatility for this group, where you never know where it's coming from. It could be a Gary Trent Jr. game, could be a 20-point game from AJ, could be Bobby. We talked about Cole Anthony, what he did that first game against the Toronto Raptors, the consistency you're now seeing from Ryan Rollins and Kyle Kuzma, Miles Turner starting to look more comfortable offensively and add some more scoring punch. It makes it tough to defend because it is literally your option of we either let Giannis feast on the inside and score 40 points against us tonight, or we help out there. We just collapse on him and say, you know what? These guys are going to have to hit shots through these first 11 games. One of those guys is hitting shots. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. You got two games coming up against the Charlotte Hornets. One of them is an NBA Cup game. We'll take a look at those. Also, the update of sorts that we got on Taurean Prince earlier today and what that means for this group going forward. We'll get into that coming up next. 7-4 to start the season are the Bucks after escaping Dallas with a 116-114 win. Look, you take the wins when you get them. It's not to say there aren't things to clean up. There, I think, is quite a bit. Your rebounding has gotten better. It's still by no means good enough. Free throw shooting tonight was very big for the Bucks, but season to date, coming into play tonight, the Bucks were dead last in free throw efficiency, under 70% shooting. They are still 30th, but they finally got up to an even 70%. You are nearly 4 percentage points behind the second worst team in the NBA. And the gap that exists there, I mean, from the number 29 team to the number 22 team is separated by 4 percentage points. Actually, it's number 20. So it's a pretty big gap on how much worse the Bucks have been in knocking down free throws than other teams. Though that needs to improve. The volume in which the Bucks get to the free throw line, not what we've seen in recent years. It's easy to explain why when you don't have Damian Lillard, right? You didn't have Giannis and Dame both getting to the line as frequently as they were. But realistically, I don't know where this team is going to finish in terms of free throw efficiency, because you have three guys gone from this team that, you know, one of them was basically guaranteed. The other were really good free throw shooters. Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, and Brooke Lopez. All a part of this team a season ago when the Bucks were one of the better free throw shooting teams. All gone this year. And it's not just about the volume and getting to the free throw line and drawing the fouls to get to the line. I mean, think about the bonus. Think about those minutes in games when Giannis is racking up fouls and somebody else gets fouled on a touch foul. You're not taking advantage of those opportunities if you're going to be a 70% or, God forbid, sub 70% free throw shooting team. So that has to get better. I mean, I don't know what you do to improve it. And Doc was asked about it yesterday too. And his response, same as mine, you know, like what are you supposed to do? Tell the guys, hey, we need you to hit free throws. I mean, at some point, that's what it comes down to. But you need to hit your free throws and not leave those points off the board. Rebounding, another one that stands out. I mean, the Bucks were getting dominated earlier in the season. It's gotten better. It still needs to get even better. You know, yesterday is not the game to use as a barometer. The Houston Rockets are doing that to everyone. Houston Rockets, by the way, had a 50% offensive rebounding rate in that game against the Bucks. They have a 41% rebounding rate for the entire season so far, offensive rebounding rate. And oh, by the way, the Charlotte Hornets are a top 10 team at offensive rebounding. You got two straight games with the Hornets. Hornets are the third best rebounding team in total in the league. And they're the second best defensive rebounding team. So you're going to have your work cut out for you in these two games, but that's where we need to see the growth. Start rebounding the basketball. There's a couple of moments in the game today where I think you saw AJ Green specifically. And to me, that's where it starts, is with your guards. The way that this team is structured with Giannis and Miles Turner, you're undersized in the other spots. Giannis and Miles Turner, you know, the numbers with them on the floor, the Bucks have been a better rebounding team than with them off. Nobody's going to question Giannis's rebounding ability. But especially now that we're seeing them staggered more, in those sequences where Miles Turner is going to challenge a shot, you need one of your guards and one of your guys that's back there to sink in towards the basket and find Miles Turner's man and at least put a body on him so it isn't a free offensive rebound. We didn't see that for most of the first five, six or so games of the season. It has gotten incrementally better. It needs to continue to get better, and especially in these two games against the Hornets. But you saw a couple of those from AJ Green in this game today. But those guys, that's where it gets important. You know, you need Bobby to get back into being that guy. Kyle Kuzma's done a great job so far this season, but it needs to be a team approach. You know, it needs to be, we got to swarm the glass. We got to go get the ball and close the possession, because as the rebounding numbers really started to pick up for the opponents, it's no surprise, it's no coincidence that that's where the defensive numbers, when the defensive numbers started to tumble for the Bucks. And as we sit here now, even with that record, even with seven wins in your first 11 games, you know, the numbers have just been okay for this Bucks team. You have the 10th best offense in the league. I think it's going to get better, you know, especially once you add Kevin Porter Jr. back to the mix. Your offense is going to continue to get better. I don't know that any of us realistically know what to expect from the defense because, again, while you have those twin towers, you are undersized in most other spots. And if you're not going to grab defensive rebounds, you're not closing possessions. You're giving the opponents chance after chance after chance to beat you, and more often than not, they will. Right now, the Bucks have the 20th rated defense in the league. You know, a pretty good offense. A defense that's one of the worst in the league. That's led to a net rating that's in the middle of the pack at 1.5. You got to see those numbers start to grow. And coming into play tonight, you know, again, even though it was a back-to-back for the Bucks, wasn't anywhere near as severe as the back-to-back that you faced last week in Toronto. You felt like this is a big opportunity for this team to, you know, juice the numbers a little bit and make some headway in your defensive efficiency, because it's a Mavs team that is not very good offensively, especially this current iteration of the Mavs. With no Anthony Davis, no Kyrie Irving, a handful of guys that are out, it hasn't been good. They put a lot on the shoulders of a young kid in Cooper Flagg. Efficiency-wise, it hasn't been there for this team. Dallas, coming into this game tonight, was the second worst offense in the league. I mean, I don't think your defense was good. In this day and age, 114 points isn't necessarily a lot to give up, but those first three quarters, your defense was bad against a team it should not look bad against. And you look ahead to the next two games, both against the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, that's a Hornets team. We mentioned they're very good on the glass. Offensively, they're just okay. They're in the middle of the pack. I'm going to be very curious to see what the defense looks like against that group. Miles Bridges has played very well for Charlotte so far this season. Of course, you got some shooting as well with the Wisconsin native Con Knipple out there. Pat Connaughton has found himself in the rotation of late. Offensively, middle of the road for the Charlotte Hornets. Defensively, they've been bad. So, what do we see offensively? The clunkiness that we've talked about, which has existed for portions of games. You see the Bucks will play a quarter or quarter and a half where the ball's moving. It looks like, okay, this was everything we heard in the offseason, the way they wanted to play, the way they wanted to move without the ball. This is it. And then it disappears. Can you keep that consistently against a team that, you know, now 10 games in has proven to be a pretty bad defense for two consecutive games, where you get a closer look at them and know what to expect? That, to me, is a big thing. The clunkiness for the offense, everything we've heard Doc Rivers opine about the last couple of games, can we eliminate most of that against an opponent that realistically is going to allow you to do so? 855-616-1620, signing unlimited talk and text line as the Bucks hang on to take down the Mavericks tonight, 116-114. Ryan Rollins, what should have been the game winner, puts the Bucks in front by one. You have the Kyle Kuzma steal leading to a fast break dunk to put you up three. And then you're fortunate, P.J. Washington unable to convert all three free throws after he was fouled on a would-be game-tying three-point attempt by Giannis. So you escaped Dallas with a victory. And again, just think back to it. Even though we just laid out some of the areas that need to improve and have not been good enough, remember what the alternate was when there were a lot of areas that needed to improve and you weren't good enough, but you were 2-8 a season ago, right around this time. Taurean Prince, I mentioned, the Bucks provided a bit of an update on his status. What it was, realistically, what it means for Taurean Prince this season, certainly in the short term, we'll dig into that coming up next. All right, the Bucks win in Dallas tonight. I feel like we've said this quite a bit this season. There's a lot to clean up. It was by no means a perfect game or anywhere near it for the Bucks, but they won. You are now in a four-way tie for second place in the Eastern Conference. The Pistons are apparently never going to lose again. They're 9-2. You got a matchup with the Pistons next week, I believe, next Saturday in Milwaukee. So that's going to be one worth monitoring. A lot of these games coming up for the Bucks, by the way. I mean, these two games with the Hornets, we just said, ideally, these would be be great to start to juice some of the offensive numbers and see if we can keep moving the needle here for the offensive rating for this team. But also, let's try to hold our own on the glass and see if we can make some movement defensively. But most, let's just win these games against the Charlotte Hornets. But this schedule in front of you, now I mentioned just how condensed it was in the month of November here and how interesting that was. Right now, you're in a stretch of 5 games in 7 days. This was game number 2 of those. But you had 6 games in 9 days dating back to the Bulls game on Friday, which came after 2 days off. And then you get 2 days off after that. And then you really step into another one of those stretches where you're playing every other day and another back-to-back. I mean, it feels like that's been the schedule for the Bucks so far this season. But the teams start to pick up as well. You get the Lakers at the end of the week, Saturday. Day 2 of a back-to-back, too. You really wish you could have flipped those. And the Hornets are here Saturday. The Lakers are here Friday. You're on the road in Cleveland for the second time this season. Next Monday, we get our first look at the rejuvenated and revamped Philadelphia 76ers, very similar to the Bucks. You know, drifted away from the identity that they used to be for a handful of seasons. Although in the case of the Bucks, their superstar is still a superstar. You get the Pistons for the first time next Saturday. Jrue Holiday and the upstart Portland Trailblazers come to town the week of Thanksgiving. And then that week, you know, not only is it that, but then you have two more NBA Cup games. The night before Thanksgiving in Miami, the night after in New York against the Knicks, and you wrap up November because, of course, with a back-to-back. In New York Friday night, the 28th, and then back at home against the Brooklyn Nets on Saturday the 29th. So it comes at you in November. What, 15 games in those 30 days? And the caliber of opponents start to pick up too. So if you can exit this month, you got 10 games left, you're currently 7-4. If you can do the same thing, go 6-4 again, 13-8 on the surface may not be a great record to the eye, but if you can do that with the schedule that you had, and I would assume some point the first week of December, somewhere around there, you'd be targeting to get Kevin Porter Jr. back on the floor. All things considered, I'd feel pretty good. December, we don't really know the schedule. I mean, it starts out potentially difficult because in that first week, you got four games. Two of them are against the Pistons. One is against the Sixers. One is in D.C. against the Wizards. But the following week is the NBA Cup quarterfinals and semifinals, and then the week after, the finals, and who knows? Are the Bucks going to be playing in the knockout rounds? Are they going to be playing in the semifinals, or are they not going to get that far? And it's just two random teams that we have scheduled in that time off there. These next 10 games, at worst, you want to go 6-4 here. If you can do better than that with a very, very difficult stretch, great. But it makes those games you have, two against the Hornets and one against the Brooklyn Nets, as, okay, these feel like non-negotiables. So let's not play with our food. Let's not get off to a slow start. Let's not talk about, man, the rebounding again or free throw shooting. Let's start to clean those things up and do them against teams we are going to be expected to win against. Because of the Lakers, the Cavs, the Pistons, the Knicks, right, on the road. The difficulty of those games that you have. How they do this, right? And here's the other thing. Mentioned the free throw shooting needing to improve, the rebounding needing to improve. One guy that was pretty effective at both of those is Taurean Prince, who we heard, last week? Bulls game, I think. Was it the Bulls game, the first game that Taurean Prince missed? When he popped up on the injury report with neck soreness, I don't think he thought anything of it. But there was no shoot-around and no media availability in the lead-up to that. And so Doc Rivers was asked about it just before the Bulls game, and the answer that he gave, I don't know why, but I remember thinking that's interesting, and talking about it with a few others around the team at the time of, what do you make of that? And the answer I got was not great and really a non-answer, which also kind of leads you to think, I think this is going to be something. And seeing him miss the entire weekend and then getting the update that we did today, it's not a great update. So that being Taurean Prince is out indefinitely, which does not mean out for the season, but, you know, it feels like more often than not when you get the out indefinitely, it's not good. It's a neck issue. He's got a bulging disc in his neck. And one of the things that caught my attention was in the Bucks press release, Taurean Prince and the team are, you know, basically discussing how should we handle this with external physicians. That part, I mean, shades of Brooke Lopez with the back surgery of, let's get another opinion here. Let's make some external consultations and see what do we come up with on this one. I fear this is going to be a long-term thing for Taurean Prince. I have no inside info here, but I fear it's long-term. And you're going to have to figure out how to forge ahead without a big piece, which again, big piece in terms of this, similar to Kyle Kuzma, I don't know that you were going to find a lot of Taurean Prince fans and supporters coming into the season. I can't tell you how many people I heard and saw, and some of it was directed at me as well, complain about the signing of Taurean Prince. I think similar to Kyle Kuzma, last year Taurean Prince was not put in the best position to succeed for large portions of the season. It is especially the last that you saw of Taurean Prince in the playoffs, right? You know, Taurean Prince playing as your shooting guard, taking on those types of defensive matchups. At this point in his career, that is no longer his strength. Ideally, he's like a small ball four. This year's group gave you more flexibility to lean into that and to say, okay, we got other guys that can stay in front of people. Obviously, Ryan Rollins is going to take on that assignment in front of Taurean Prince, even Kyle Kuzma at times. So, TP, that's not what we need of you. We just need you to be that catch-and-shoot guy that you were last season. And he was off to a good start. He's a very valuable, and I don't mean this in a diminishing way at all, he's a very valuable regular season guy. You know, there's the 82 versus 16 discussion. In other words, are you a guy that you can play throughout 82 games in the regular season, or are you one of those guys that can help you get 16 wins in the postseason for an NBA championship? I think we know Taurean Prince can be a very good 82 player. He's extremely valuable depth. I mean, it's like, you know, baseball. You think about 162 games, you need somebody to throw innings for you. Taurean Prince can do that. And Taurean Prince knows how to play off of Giannis. The Bucks, and you go back to Ime Udoka Sunday afternoon talking about this, they have accumulated so many, you know, not only shooters, because that's always been the model around Giannis, is, all right, get Giannis and get shooters around him. They've accumulated catch-and-shoot guys that, you know, make even more sense. And Taurean Prince was one of those guys. Being able to play bigger, I think, is one of the important things. We've seen Doc Rivers, not so much tonight or not as much tonight. Dallas isn't really a great barometer for it, but you think back to the Rockets game, go back to the Bulls game. What we started to see in these past couple of games is more staggering of Giannis and Miles Turner to keep a rim protector on the floor at all times. And then also blending in your depth to say, okay, we're going to start the game small. Whether or not it's foul trouble, whether or not it's the size of the opponents, whatever it is, we're going to start to sprinkle in some lineups where we play bigger, too. You know, whether that be Giannis and Kuz and Bobby Portis on the floor, or Giannis and Miles Turner and Kyle Kuzma on the floor, or before this weekend, Taurean Prince. You know, I'm not saying he's a big, but he gives you more size at the three than Gary Trent Jr. Not having that and not having that club in the bag to play is going to be something to keep an eye on as we continue to talk about the rebounding and the free throws for this team, because I think you know enough about Taurean Prince to know what to expect there. So if that's gone, you're going to have to get it from somewhere else. So we will continue to monitor here the situation on Taurean Prince, but it doesn't sound as though we're going to be seeing him anytime soon, unfortunately. We'll take a look at the other eight games on your NBA schedule tonight, as I believe we're headed towards the fourth quarter in the final game of the night, and then get you set for Wednesday night in Charlotte against the Hornets as we wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk. All right, 116-114, the final tonight. Bucks outlast the Mavs. Ryan Rollins, a big play down the stretch to put the Bucks in front by one. He had 17 seconds remaining after that layup. Whether or not it was a gift, Kyle Kuzma gets the inbound pass and turns it into a transition dunk to put you up three. And thankfully, P.J. Washington misses the second of three free throws, needing to knock down all of them. So the Bucks win this one tonight. A game that, look, you can make a strong case up until about the six-minute mark in the fourth quarter. They did not play anywhere near well enough to be deserving of a win, but they did the final few minutes of the game, and that's the important part here. So now you get two games with the Charlotte Hornets starting Wednesday on the road, and then Friday nights in an NBA Cup game in Milwaukee. Again, Hornets are an excellent rebounding team, both offensive glass, defensive glass. They are so-so offensively. Defensively, not very good. So this is a big opportunity to start to clean up some of those things on the offensive end of can we just play consistently like what we saw for large stretches of the first half against the Houston Rockets, the first 9 minutes of opening night against the Washington Wizards, and some other stretches throughout the season as well. This defense, famous last words, but this defense of the Charlotte Hornets really should give you that opportunity to do so. The big stories from the night, again, the Pistons 9-2 to start the season. Cade Cunningham scoring 46 points tonight. The small print on that one is that he took 45 shots, but Cade Cunningham's been tremendous. The Pistons are playing incredibly. 9-2 to start the season. Hornets lost to the Lakers tonight. The Miami Heat winning on a buzzer-beating alley-oop in overtime. So you got this four-way tie between the Heat, the Cavs, the Bucks, and the Knicks for the second-best record in the Eastern Conference. There's only one game that's still going on right now tonight, and that is in Inglewood, where the Atlanta Hawks are up 89-86 about midway through the fourth quarter on the Los Angeles Clippers. Boy, this has almost been like shades of last year from the Bucks for this Clippers team. They are 3-6 right now. And again, similar to what we said about the Bucks last year, it's a very old team. Potentially a 3-7 start to the season. Don't get a chance to see the Hawks for a little bit yet, but we, in the short term, are focused now on two matchups back-to-back with the Charlotte Hornets. So the first of those, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock tip from the Queen City. 5:30 is when our pregame coverage begins on the BMO Bucks Radio Network. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you Wednesday night.